All right, people, here we go again with another episode of Precision Rifle Network Podcast. And so I've got just a couple things that I thought would be fun to talk about, just kind of catching up. It's been a few weeks, and I thought I'd let you know what I've been kind of up to. So, just thinking through products that have been sent to me recently for video review and whatnot, or products that have been dropped that I'm interested in, or things like that. Big project for me that has been completed, and I've brought home and I've taken some pictures and things like that of it. That is my 7PRC rifle, and that has been a much needed, I don't know if it's much needed, a much wanted item in my arsenal for quite a while now. And by arsenal, I say a small handful of very specific tools. You know, I don't mean like a room full of various things that I barely touch. Never mind. That's going to be a huge rabbit trail. Let me just stick with what I was going to talk about. This is 7PRC, and the components are as follows. I've got a Terminus Zeus long action. I've got a proof barrel chambered in 7PRC. It is finished at 29 inches long, and it's kind of in a lighter weight hunter type contour. The reason that we went with that long is because I said to my gunsmith, hey, Ryan Hunt of Hunt's Long Range, I said, I would like to shoot 1 mile with this gun. I want an accurate 1 mile gun. And I didn't want to go with one of the big, you know, like big heavy magnums that require, you know, like cutting edge solid bullets and all that kind of stuff. I wanted something that I could just normally find components for, hand load for, that wouldn't be crazy expensive, but that could still shoot 1 mile with a high degree of accuracy. I know the 7PRC will do that, based on the bullets I get and all those sorts of things. I also wanted a little bit higher velocity, and so we chose 29 inches, with the understanding that you can always cut more off of the barrel and slow it down a bit if you need. You can't ever put it back on, right, without getting a new barrel. So 29 inches long. It is currently sitting in a Graybow Phoenix Gen 2, Graybow Phoenix 2, stock that has got a very cool custom orange and black camo paint job. I love it, especially since it's a hunting rifle. I like that it's got the orange on there, you know, safety and such. It's got a Trigger Tech diamond married up inside for the trigger. We've got no break of any kind on it currently. I'm gonna hand load for it. I'm not really concerned about tightening up the groups. I have found that it shoots about a 0.4, a little better than a half inch group with factory Hornady 175 ELDXs. And so I don't really need any better than that, to be honest, but I'm going to hand load those pieces of brass when I'm done, and I'll tighten that up, you know, to a 0.3, 0.25, 0.3 consistently, I would imagine. With a much better SD and a still very respectable speed limit. And, that thing's going to be a hammer. Currently it has Athlon Ares BTR Gen 2 scope up on top. That will most likely get changed to a Maven. I'm thinking, I think it's Maven. I've got the 5 to 20 or something like that. They've got a newer kind of hunting optic. I believe it's Maven. I'll have to double check. I should have done that before I recorded the podcast, but I believe it's a Maven. Going to be putting up on top of there eventually after we do a review of the Athlon optic, which so far seems pretty good. You guys know, if you've been around my channel for quite a while, I am historically have not been an Athlon fan, and I have since changed my mind. They have changed my mind. They make a excellent set of optics once you spend a certain amount of money. But that's the case with a lot of them, right? Like, it's like Vortex, you know, you spend $200, well, you're probably not going to get an amazing optic, depending on the task that you're trying to achieve, right? It might be the perfect tool for the job that you need it to do, you know? But for me, I don't ever buy $200 scopes. And so usually I'm at a minimum dollar amount of, say, $500 to $700, usually in the neighborhoods of $1,200 or something for an optic. And of course, also I run a zero compromise optics, you know, on my competition rifle, which is up to, say, $3,700. So I run the whole gamut, but I find that if you spend around $1,000, you're going to get an optic that'll do pretty much anything you want it to do in any discipline that you need it for, and it's going to last a good long time. And this Athlon Ares BTR is in that range, and I think it's a good choice for people. So that'll be coming. Anyway, that rifle is now together, and I've got a video coming out on it where I just kind of took it out to the range and did some initial shots. Put some rounds down range with that Hornady 175 ELDX. Just got it tuned onto paper, got it grouped up at 100 yards, and then we stretched it out to about 735 yards and, you know, consistently hitting where we needed it to hit. And, I was setting that up with the GeoBallistics app, because I plan on potentially running the new Vortex Impact 4000 laser rangefinder on there. I just think so far, and I haven't used mine quite that much, because it's just brand new, right? And I guess I'm transitioning from the rifle into the rangefinder now, but I did purchase a Vortex Impact 4000, the weapon-mounted laser rangefinder, if you haven't seen it. Pretty cool. $2,000 roughly in a market where similar devices have been mostly only available to military and law enforcement for a lot of years. You could buy them as a civilian, but you were looking at $10,000 for these other units, and most people don't have that kind of money to drop. You know, it was a stretch for me to be able to afford a zero compromise optics at $3,700. So for a laser rangefinder that it doesn't really have a very specific purpose for me, meaning I don't use it for a job. I am not employed as a sniper. So it really doesn't make sense for me to run something like that. Well, Vortex goes and drops a unit that is $2,000 that does probably 90% of what those other units will do. So far, sounds like, from what I'm hearing, the reports that I'm hearing, it'll do it just about as well. And, you know, I thought, heck, I'll try it. So I found one, and I bought it, and I've used it a little bit. I've got it calibrated up, and I've got it mounted to a rifle, and all I have done is played around with it in my backyard and across a field that's next to our property, so maybe up to 400 yards. And so far, it seems to be ranging true and all those things. More videos are coming, but I do have it, and it is mounted up. And man, I like it. The features are there. It's intuitive and simple to use. So far, the most difficult two things about using it. Number one is the compass calibration. If for whatever reason you don't follow the instructions precisely, then the calibration will fail. And you really can't use the unit without passing the calibration phase. At least you wouldn't be able to trust it accurately. And if you fail that calibration, you have to redo it. You have to redo the steps until it passes. And I, you know, for whatever reason, I failed the calibration test a number of times. And it doesn't take forever. It takes a few minutes. But when you fail that a few times, all of a sudden you're standing out there for 20 minutes just trying to get the thing calibrated correctly. So some patience is required for sure when it comes to the calibration. But once it's calibrated, you don't have to worry about it unless you change a big change in locations, and then you should recalibrate it just to make sure that the compass and all the things are working correctly the way that it's supposed to and designed to do. Another thing that is just what it is it's got a laser on it that you use to calibrate it with your optic to make sure you've got kind of a line of sight laser co-aligned with your optic crosshairs. And you're supposed to do that at 100 yards, but the laser is a civilian legal laser, which means very low power, and it's impossible to see that laser dot on a target at 100 yards during daytime hours. So the downside is I found, so two things. Number one, you can just wait until dusk or later in the day where you can still look through your scope and see your target clearly, but it's dark enough that you could also see the laser dot down on your target. That might be the ideal method, I think, just because things, you can see them more clearly without a bunch of bad reflection. They also include in the box these very reflective stickers that you can put on your target, and they provide you with a target as well, a couple of them. But you can stick these stickers on your target, and they're reflective. And so when the laser hits the edges, it reflects very clearly. You can tell exactly where your laser is. And then they put this little, like, half-inch dot sticker in there as well. Basically, you're trying to put your scope crosshairs in one place and keep it there. And then you're dialing on the scope laser elevation and windage to make it line up with the dot that you've measured out. And the measurement comes from your height over bore and all that kind of stuff. And that needs to be precise. Otherwise, you know, the laser could be off at distance. We don't want that. And so you need to follow the instructions and do the things. There's just some hoops that you need to jump through, I guess, is what I'm saying, for the Impact 4000, and it, just to get it set up correctly. But once it's set up, it really is pretty intuitive. The app works well, you know, the GeoBallistics app. So far, drop data and all that, the ballistics solver seems solid with a giant database of bullets and all kinds of things. Seems equivalent. I have not tested it yet against Applied Ballistics directly, but I have been using the GeoBallistics app for some time, and it is reliable. And so that's a positive. So that laser, I'm really looking forward to using that a little bit more. And then just, I guess, circling back to the 7PRC, I will be doing another video once I reload for that. I'll do some load development and find a good round that really works well for that rifle. And then we'll see what kind of groups that thing will put out there. Maybe I'll put it on paper at 600 and 1,000, and also maybe shoot it out to a mile for you guys on video. So looking forward to doing that with the 7PRC. And you know, the competition season is drawing to a close. I was not able to go, sadly. I was not able to go to the Competition Dynamics Team Safari match this fall. And I'm pretty bummed about that, because I really was looking forward to it all year long. I was looking forward to going with my friend who was going to go with me as my partner. He was going to be the bolt gun guy, and I was going to be the gas gun guy. And I'd been planning and prepping for that all year long in terms of just thought process and, you know, team strategy and communication. And, you know, I bought a bunch of new gear that I'd been testing and going over and things like that. It just wasn't able to happen. And it, you know, he had very valid and viable reasons for having to or choosing to back out of the competition. I completely understand them. And technically, I did not have to back out of the competition. But we were only 4 days away from leaving for the competition when got the final word that he was not going to be able to make it. And so in 4 days' time, there was very little chance that I was going to find a suitable partner for this competition. And so I could have gone and shot the whole thing by myself just for the experience of shooting it. But I don't really want to spend 3 days in the desert by myself. The whole point of this competition is that it's supposed to be a fun thing to do with a teammate. And when I lost my teammate, I decided it wasn't going to be worth the time and hassle if I wasn't going to get to have fun with him. And so I just said, forget it, not going to do it. And that sucked because it is my most favorite match. Did it last year. Had issues with a teammate last year. That not bad, not drama or anything like that. He got injured and couldn't continue last year. But still, was the funnest match I've ever done. And I was really looking forward to it. But so, that's that. As far as competitions for me for the rest of the year, man, if there's any just local stuff around in Missouri, I might hit up a match or two. But pretty much season's over and it's going to start getting crappy weather, and I'm a fair weather fan when it comes to shooting. I like to go out and enjoy. I don't like it when it's raining. I don't like it when it's crazy cold and windy. Just, no thanks. I got other things I'd rather do if the weather's going to be like that. So matches are pretty much coming to a close. Hunting season is here though. Definitely been doing a little bit of that. In fact, last night, which doesn't mean anything to you guys in terms of the day whenever you listen to this, but last night for me was a Sunday night, and my son Nate put an arrow through a 6-point buck, a little bit, you know, a little young. I never told him what he should and shouldn't do, so a little bit that's on me. But this wasn't a bad, it was just a young deer, you know, probably a 2-year-old 6-point whitetail here in Missouri. Not a huge deer, but, you know, this is my son's first attempt at a deer with a bow, and he was excited. He wanted to take the shot, and it was a 40-yard shot, and he hit it and seemed like hit it good, according to him. And we went and tracked, and there was a lot of blood, and it was already after dark by the time we started tracking, and we followed the track, the blood trail on this deer, for probably 75 to 100 yards through the woods and across a creek and onto another property. And guys, I've shot a lot of deer in my day and tracked a lot of deer, and I've lost a handful. I have never seen a deer bleed this much for that long and then just vanish into thin air. Kid you not, blood trail, like right at the end, big old pile of blood, and vanish into thin air. Unbelievable. Like, we spent 3 hours combing the woods with our naked eye and white lights. We busted out thermal and looked for this thing, and we busted out night vision goggles and IR lights, and went looking all through the woods for this thing. And we could not find his deer anywhere. Super frustrating for him, obviously. I hate the feeling. It's like, if you're a hunter of whitetails or any kind of big game, and you've ever lost an animal that you're pretty sure you hit good, you just get this sinking, sick gut feeling. And man, I just feel that for my son, because for sure that's what he's feeling. And it just sucks. I hate losing deer, but you know, it's such as life. It's hunting. It's not immediate killing. You hope it would be quick and ethical, but at the end of the day, We're slinging sharp, pointy objects at an animal, trying to rip apart its insides. So, you know, I'm not much for the ethical side of things. Either you hit it well and it's going to die and you're going to recover it, or you screwed something up. And in this case, I'm not sure which it is, because again, this one is just a very, very much a mystery. Good, solid, bright red blood trail for a good long while, only to have it vanish without a trace after that last spot. Very weird. Very, very weird. Anyway, so it's hunting season, and that's going on. A little bit of bow hunting, and then, first 2 weeks of November here, will be rifle season here in Missouri, and I'm sure I will probably head out to some, state-run federal ground or something and try to schwack a doe or a buck or something at a little bit longer distance if I can. That's been my attempt each year, but it's got to be just right, and I'm looking for a very specific deer this time around. The last few years, I've been only worried about trophy deer. I'm not really interested in just putting more meat in my freezer. I got plenty. I got kids with, doe tags and everything else. Like, we can put a doe in the freezer anytime we want, right? Like, during the season, obviously. But those are easy. Those are easy to get. We got plenty of meat. So that's not the issue. So for me, I'm looking for something that I can film to show you guys on Precision Rifle Network, and I am looking for a trophy buck. A trophy, in my opinion, is anything in, say, the 150 class and above. I'm looking for 150 inches or just something that's very unique. If it's going to be smaller than that, it's got to be kind of unique, but that's just me. That's kind of what I'm after. What do we got coming up? So, sitting on the table that still needs reviewed, we do have a Maven optic sitting on the table that needs to be reviewed. I think I've got an Element scope. I've got a new thermal optic from Athlon. Did you guys know that Athlon is now offering thermal optics? I did not until recently, and now I have one of those that I will be doing a review on. Looking forward to that. And shoot, we've got the Vortex, the Impact 4000. I'm going to use that for a while longer before I actually bust out a review on it. A lot of reviews already came out from people who, it's more like first impressions and here's how you set it up or here I took it out to the range and I've used it for like 2 days and now I'm going to tell you all about it. Like, I can't do that kind of video. I have to use a product for a decent amount of time before I'm going to put any weight behind what I say about it. So my review of that's coming, and we'll get there when we get there. What else? I feel like I'm missing something. No other new guns, really, I don't think, other than those. Stocks and stuff. Graybow stocks. Got a couple of, Graybow stocks you've been seeing in videos. Definitely check, the link to the description or link in the description below the videos, which is a link to my webpage. It has all of the product, affiliate deals, discounts, coupon codes, those sorts of things. You want to check those out because Graybow, just one example, I think there's like 12 or 15 different affiliate deals now, but Graybow, just as one example, often has 50% or more off on stocks. And you should check it out because they've got some amazing deals going on. And if you watch that page and click through from my link, it helps me out a little bit and you get a great product at a great price. That's something to keep an eye out on. Optics Force is another affiliate deal we've been working with. If you go to opticsforce.com or just, again, go to our website and look for the affiliate links and go to opticsforce.com. You can get 5% off your order. When we're talking about scopes, right, let's say you buy a $2,000 scope, well, 5% is a decent chunk of money. And so definitely use that coupon code and check them out. They've got lots of the common products that we all know and love and use. They got them in stock, exceptional customer service, and you get a bit of a discount. So that's good. Oh, the Aero Solace. That was the other one I was forgetting. Got the Aero Solace sitting there it's in 6GT, barrel chambered by Desert Precision Gunworks, Kenny over there. So got to get that one done too. anyway, that's going to be it for now, guys. I just wanted to like a quick update, get another podcast out for you. I was traveling in the car today, heading back from Hunt's Long Range. So another shout out for Ryan Hunt at Hunt's Long Range. He's my gunsmith. He does amazing things. I just dropped off a Remington 700 short action. The bolt is for a 223. So we've done... It started out life as a Remington 700 SPS in 223. Had like a 20-inch 223 barrel on it in a pretty crappy old stock. Anyway, I had Ryan change that, and we changed it to 300 blackout. And we were just really trying to get a very short, kind of foldable, compact, and quiet 300 blackout. But man, I got to tell you guys, I was really unimpressed with the decibel level of subsonic 300 blackout. I just expected it, and this is my first one through a bolt action, I just expected it to be a lot quieter, and it just simply wasn't. Like, I've got other rifles that are quieter, and I don't know what I was expecting, but it didn't match up with my expectations. So I took the 300 blackout barrel off, and we're going back to 223, and Ryan's going to spin me up a 16 and a half inch 223 wild, probably something, I don't know, maybe. I just, you know, it'll be 5.56, 223, similar. The idea is to be able to run heavy, it'll be like a 1-in-7 twist on that barrel, so we'll be able to run heavy, you know, 75, 77 grain, 223 type rounds, get some really good accuracy out of it for precision work. And also, I will run 223 subsonics through that with a silencer, and I know what that sounds like, and that's pretty impressive, and I'll use that for a kind of a critter killer around home. Probably put one of these thermal scopes up on top of it is my plan, this Athlon thermal scope up on top of that. Have a really good kind of compact, handy nighttime critter schwacker. So that's everything that's going on, guys. Definitely chime in on the videos. Lately, for some reason, all of a sudden, YouTube, the algorithm is not pushing our videos out. I don't know what's going on, but we went from averaging 5,000 views per video to sometimes getting less than 1,000. And this was like an overnight split second change. Something changed in YouTube. I'm not sure what it is. We really could use your help to comment on the videos, to thumbs up the videos, to share them with friends. Anything you can do to help me out, man, would be hugely appreciated. So make sure and do that, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Thanks, guys.